Well, we're continuing our series in the Westminster Confession of Faith, which we're using as a guide to a study of Christian doctrine. And we are also continuing in chapter 15, which is on repentance. Let me read two sections, sections 3 and 4 to you now, and then we'll spend a few moments reflecting on the teaching here. Although repentance be not to be rested in as any satisfaction for sin or any cause of the pardon thereof, which is the act of God's free grace in Christ, yet it's of such necessity to all sinners that none may expect pardon without it. As there's no sin so small, but it deserves damnation, so there is no sin so great that it can bring damnation upon those who truly repent. Well, the first two paragraphs of chapter 15 told us what repentance is. It's a work of God's grace that sees us climbing out of the swamp of our sin and despair and walking along the narrow and straight path that leads to God and to eternal life. But how essential is repentance in the Christian life? How essential is it to salvation? Well, these two central paragraphs in the chapter set out to answer that question. In the first place, we should not exaggerate the importance of our repentance and salvation. God forgives us when we turn from our sin to Him in Christ. But He does not forgive us because He considers our repentance some good deed that deserves an award. Nor does He forgive us because He thinks that in our repenting that we are in some way atoning for the wrongs that we have done. Our repentance does not earn God's pardon. And that was the late medieval view of penance in its crassest forms, unfortunately. Penance came to be understood as a sinner's sort of self-satisfaction. The sinner paying the price for his own sin by pious deeds before God. Here the basic point is that we ought not to think that our change in attitude and action impresses the Lord. That's something that the Lord said on more than one occasion through His prophet Ezekiel. The Lord declared that He was going to show mercy to His wayward people. He was going to give new hearts and cause them to walk in His statutes and keep His laws. These people were going to be transformed. In a word, they were going to repent of what they had done. The Lord was going to change their lives. But the only appropriate stance when the Lord is changing us and we are repenting them, Ezekiel makes clear, is really shame for our sinful ways and gratefulness to God. Pride for recent transformations in our lives is not even to register on our spiritual radars. Well, we do not rely on repentance as the grounds of our pardon. No, we rely on God's free grace in Christ. It's free grace that God emphasizes through the life and teaching of the prophet Hosea, for example. I will heal their waywardness, God promised, speaking of those who had come to rely on human help and were worshiping of false gods. I will love them freely, the Lord went on to say, for my anger has turned away from them. God justifies penitent people freely by His grace, and He does so in Christ, or as Paul says in Romans 3, through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. We find this teaching in more than one place in the Bible. Certainly we find it in more than one place in Paul's writings. It's not our new walk of life that saves us. No, our redemption is through Jesus' blood only. Or stated differently, the forgiveness of sins is not in accordance with our repentance and how fine it might be, but in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So repentance is not the cause of God's pardon, and yet we must also be clear that there's no pardon without repentance. Does that make sense? Just think of the parallel. God requires faith, but does faith save us? Hardly. Well, God also requires repentance, but repentance does not save us. On the other hand, that does not make faith or repentance any less important to God. On the contrary, it's of such necessity to all sinners that none may expect pardon without it. Jesus said that on more than one occasion, didn't he? And at one point he said it almost twice in a row. Unless you repent, he told a crowd, you will all likewise perish. And that's as true for people on the streets of Jerusalem as it was for the philosophers of Athens. As Paul explained, God commands all people everywhere to repent. Well, everyone, everywhere is called to repent because all have sinned. Everyone is commanded to repent, even people who commit wee sins, because there is no sin so small, but it deserves damnation. You see, Paul did not say that the wages of really major sin is death. He just said the wages of sin is death without qualification. And it's worth thinking about that. Really, who will leave the bar of heaven breathing a sigh of relief that the Lord didn't care about the small things we did? Who can really say that the Word of God has not taught them that God is concerned about them and all of their sins, and that He speaks to all of us in His sweeping declarations about humanity and human sin? Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was He who said that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have said. When I recall these words, I find great comfort in the gracious truth that there is no sin so great that it can bring damnation upon those who truly repent. Is that not near the very heart of God's message in the book of Isaiah? Let the wicked forsake his way, he says. Let the evil man forsake his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. This is speaking about wicked people, but he's referring to evil thoughts. Those are the people that God repents when they turn to him. As Paul explained to the church in Rome, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, that's good news for sinners. Perhaps that's why this comforting news is placed up front in the opening paragraphs of Isaiah's long prophecy. Take your evil deeds out of my sight, the Lord commands. Stop doing wrong. And what does the Lord promise to those who heed this call? He promises that though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Well, have you ever wounded anyone in careless words that you've spoken? Are there evil thoughts that you need to confess before the Lord? Are there stains of sin on you that you cannot wash away? Well, then look to God's grace in Christ. And repent of your sins. And if you do so, you will find a gracious redemption, full and free. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come to you this morning as sinners, and we confess that we need to repent of these sins. We ask that you would forgive us for our thoughts, for our words, and the things that we have done that have been calculated to hurt others, or perhaps have been careless and have offended you. We ask that you would forgive us our sins, and we pray too that by the power of your Spirit, you would help us to turn to your ways and to do what pleases you. Help us, we ask, to love your law, to meditate on it, and to keep it by your grace. Help us, we ask, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.